Roll on, you Edmonton Oil Kings. Roll on.
Yes. I was so pleased it did not go into overtime.
Yeah. Overtime hockey is very exciting and also potentially endless.
Yes. In the playoffs, good grief.
Yeah. So, oh, yeah. Yep. I remember that from watching Sharks playoff hockey back in the day. I guess they're in the playoffs now, though, too, but I haven't watched
They
yet.
Are indeed.
They're playing the hated LA Kings, maybe?
Yes.
I think that's who they're playing.
I've actually seen pretty much every playoff game, but I haven't.
Well, you are in Canada now.
Yes. Yes. See, we have the NHL Game Center app, which means we can watch hockey games, whatever one we want, on the other TV, put on whatever's on, you know, TSN or CBC on the main TV, and then put something else on a laptop.
I saw that picture on Twitter. Yeah, I've done, I admit I have done that for like at the very end of the baseball season where I'm able to put various games on various devices when there are lots of things happening at once. I will admit that. Yeah.
Steven's very excited about his MLB TV app as well.
Yes, he and I have that in common, and I know we do not share it with you, but that's fine.
Nope.
That is fine.
Yep, you guys, you bond all you want. I'll
There's
be
nothing wrong
here.
With that. John Siracusa is apparently here. He is only inaudible.
You know, next time I RSVP, I got to remember that not the RSVP for times that will make me not see Game of Thrones.
Oh, yes. So I haven't seen Game of Thrones either, but, you know, it's not on in HD here for another 2 hours. So I can watch it in SD, but not in HD. And it really was the point in SD. Why?
Right. Yeah, it starts here in an hour.
Interesting. Canada.
We'll just watch it.
Yeah. Sorry about that, John.
If I get spoiled on Twitter tomorrow, I'll blame you.
Okay. Got it. You know, it's one thing to schedule it for 7, which is a much more reasonable time. It's another thing if nobody shows up at 7. Almost nobody. The cool people, the good people showed up at 7. But I have Serenity and Dan and Tony all and David Lohr, all of whom are RSVP'd and are not here.
A
I know.
Tisk.
The computer, the computer game draft. There's so many drafts, I lost track. Because John knows, because I thought he was on one and then he wasn't on because he was on the other one. That one ran so long that we don't have to do this one. I have enough to get me through my vacation. And my business trip. I'd like to do it because I just watched an episode and all.
Right.
But I would also like it if people showed up.
Right.
They haven't yet.
Well, if you're desperate to do it, which you just said you weren't, Steven's in the other room and I finally made him watch all of Firefly and Serenity.
Ah, did he like it?
He did, not as much as I did, but he quite enjoyed it. He liked the Blake 7-ish aspect of it.
Wow.
Terrible. Yep.
It's just like Blake 7, except, you know, 30 years later.
Yeah. Honestly, when he said that, I started thinking about it, and I was like, holy crap, there are a lot of similarities.
Oh.
I take it you have not started the live feed yet?
I haven't.
Okay, I just got a message from Steven being like, I just want to make sure I'm not doing something wrong.
No, the live feed's not on because, you know, I'm not yet even convinced. Laura says he's coming. I'm not yet even convinced that we're going to be able to do this. But I have hopes.
High apple pie in the sky hopes?
Yeah, maybe. I have to find a rubber tree plant.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, I can see an oak tree out my window here. That's about it. A mean, mean, vicious oak tree that drops pointy leaves that make you hurt when you step on them. Stupid oak tree. It's an oak tree that hangs almost entirely over my house's lot, but is not the trunk is not on my house's lot, and therefore
it's not your tree.
It's not really my tree, but I don't like it. It is my enemy. Well, this is exciting. Hey, David Lohr, are you there?
I'm here.
Oh,
I'm here.
Look at that.
Made it.
It's practically a podcast now. I was just telling John and Erica that I could probably call this off if we absolutely had to. Because I've only watched, I was going to rewatch everything, and I've only rewatched like one episode. I mean, I feel like I've got it all committed to memory, but I didn't my research.
I was going to rewatch everything too, and then it was like, oh, wait, we were doing a Firefly. Like 20 minutes ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's okay. I have all the comic books, so.
See, I've refrained.
I guess I only have one.
Save that for the podcast, if podcast there ever is. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So right now we're batting 500 with the RSVPs, is what I'm saying. Hey, so while I got you, congratulations on being nominated for a Hugo Award.
Yes.
Oh, thank you very much.
I'm sorry that you had to be nominated the same year that Horrible Racists were. Because it kind of takes some of the bloom off the rose, but you should be proud of it. The nonfiction categories were excellent.
Yeah. I'm so pleased. Yeah, I know, you know, several years down the line, that's the only thing people are going to remember about this year.
Yeah.
You know, great.
I
but that's okay. You know, it'll stand out.
Yeah.
Because you guys tweet about it, and I'm like, I'm not involved. I don't follow enough people to know what you're talking about it, but then it's like someone has a link, and I start following it, and I'm like, all right, they're mad about something.
Yeah.
Something to do with the Hugos. Are those the things with the books that we don't like to read? But the Mary Grant? No, it's not
that's
what
the one.
Right now. It's because David Brin is being a jerk in comments? No,
nope, that's not
thing.
It.
And it's like, I eventually think I found it, and it was...
Yeah. It's like some, I mean, Vox Day. I mean, somebody had
like
a link.
Like a right-wing... Like,
yeah, well, there was a military SF novelist who tried to mobilize his fans to get them to sort of do a backlash thing and nominate a bunch of people who are sort of like-minded, including a writer named Vox, or his pseudonym is Vox Day, and he is an unabashed racist as well as being sexist. He goes all the way to racist.
Yep.
You know, sexism is just a little way station on the way to horrible racism, and he seems proud of it, which is bizarre to me. Mm-hmm. And I part of me thinks that the guy really just wants attention.
I mean, I thought, oh, he can't be that bad. And then I went and actually read one of his posts, and I was like,
oh, he's that bad.
I was like, is this a cartoon? Yeah. I mean, it was just so far.
It'd be
out
a perfect
there.
Character in a Mira Grant book, right?
Yeah, that's right. He is that bad a character.
Bringing it all together, finally.
Maybe he is.
Oh, could be. He should poke something with a stick and then drink a Coke, and he will be a character in a Mira Grant novel.
I had never heard of him until this afternoon.
Yeah.
Then I was like, gee,
well,
how is this better than Jonathan Ross?
Bring these important people to the attention of the world.
Well, I'm going to turn on the thing only because... all right, the thing is on. Hello, 5x5. We are four of us are here, and we're waiting to see if we have more people coming, if we're going to do this tonight, or if we're going to bail out and do this some other night when more people are here. Four people is great, and it's a great... I have three great guests with me, but so we could totally do it. It would be much easier to edit this way. I have to admit that I kind of don't want to do it if Serenity can't be on it, because her name is Serenity. Gotta say.
Yeah. And Firefly.
Yes, Firefly can't be here. Dan Firefly Morin.
Firefly Morin, yeah. That's what we call him.
Or Tony... Janestown Sindelar. who RSVP'd and aren't here. Because it's Easter. I think people didn't know it was Easter. That's what I think. Also,
I knew it was Easter.
I had your RSVP like a month ago.
Do they know it's Easter time at all, Jason?
I didn't know it was Easter, but then I don't actually really celebrate it. So I was like, oh, look,
Canadian
chocolate.
Easter is Wednesday.
That's nice.
And there'll be no Easter baskets in this Easter time. Something like that.
I did watch the end of Easter Parade last night, however. That was my one little bit of celebration.
Yeah, David watched the Ten Commandments and tweeted the whole thing.
Yeah,
not for the first time.
I watched like 10 minutes, and that was all I could take.
I played
fiery and burning passion.
I did have one director friend who about 3 hours into it, she tweets at me, you know, you don't have to watch this. I said, no, this was by request. People wanted this. I half of these I've done before. I it's all right. And I kind of get a kick out of Heston going full overacting. I mean, it's just awful.
When does he not?
That's full. You wanted to say it. Full Shatner is what you're saying. Except
oh, yeah.
Retro
Shatner.
Oh,
he goes way beyond. He goes beyond.
At least can't be done. Impossible.
I just
it's
like
a long movie. It's a long time to spool up.
I just like Yul Brynner going Moses.
See, I can't get over that because of Billy Crystal's comedy album. I always remember Billy Crystal's impression on his comedy album, Moses and the Hebrews. Think that kind of with my father, you know that. And I can't.
Who's the female lead? Is it Vivian Leigh?
Anne Baxter.
Anne Baxter.
Yeah, well, she's the one who's going Moses. The whole movie she spends going Moses.
You silly, adorable fool. Yeah. Oh God. I always have Sid Caesar from. It was actually a sketch from the '50s where he's spoofing The King and I, where he supposedly steps on a cigarette butt and he goes, "Yow! What did I tell you? No smoking in the palace." Every time I see Yul Brynner now, no smoking in the palace.
Yeah. I'm dead now. No smoking in the palace. Yeah, it's a little Yul Brynner mashup there. Somebody mentioned that we should have picked Yul Brynner in the robot draft.
I thought about it.
Yeah, I thought about it too. We
no,
just
I,
didn't
had,
I just had other
already.
Robots.
Yeah, we already did the robot loving. Draft, John. That's the why you were asking if you were on that one.
Because I signed up for it, I wanted to do it, and I couldn't remember if like it got postponed or I just couldn't make it.
No, I think you couldn't make it. I picked Data with the first pick.
Yeah, I was going to pick. My picks were going to be. Well, I think I had a vague strategy, but I was definitely going to include Ash. I was going to build my strategy around Ash.
Yeah, I think that would have been. I think somebody mentioned Ash. I think maybe Steve Lutz even mentioned Ash.
Did anyone pick Hal? I would have picked Hal.
No, nobody picked Hal in either the computer draft or the robot draft. He's really a computer and not a robot in the computer draft.
I would pick robot because he controls the Discovery. The Discovery basically is him. And
yeah.
The problem with that is that
I allowed Kit as the computer in the computer draft. I decided that computers that control ships are not robots. That robots need to have bodies that are human-ish bodies.
I'll BS on this.
It is too late. You should have been there.
We all did.
They all did complain about it. You can look forward to that next week.
This is what happens when you watch too much sports, Jason. You decide that it's more important for you to enforce your arbitrary rules than to actually be right about
Actually, you know, I am a very lenient judge, and I would have let it go other than the fact that we had already recorded the computer draft, and I'd already allowed Kit as a computer.
Well, so
I had to disallow
it. Just compounding
and the Enterprise computer from Star Trek, I also had to allow. So that boxed me in for the robot draft where I was.
Wait, the computer draft wasn't real computers? I was like, who's going to pick Mac SE 30? Like,
oh, no,
first,
it was real computers, and I had all real computers on my list, and then it went completely off the rails, like with the second pick.
You need to be more specific in these.
This
drafts,
is turning into an After Dark for the episode I posted yesterday. Yeah, I picked. So Jeff Carlson picked the VIC-20 to start it off, which I thought was a weird pick, but he went with it. And then after that, Jarvis, Whopper, GLaDOS, and Deep Thought went the next four picks. And I was like, oh, this is ruined.
Those are good picks, though.
Yeah, they are. And then I picked the PowerBook 160. So, you know.
The 160.
Yeah, well, that's the one I had, but I was trying to pick the whole 100 series, other than the 100.
The 160 is not the one you pick out of that series.
Well, that's the one I had.
Yeah,
I mean,
165C, maybe.
Maybe. But I'm not. Basically, I wanted the whole first generation of PowerBooks, other than the 100, because the 100 is just the portable in a smaller case.
Why are you going to exclude the Japanese 100? That's the one that everybody loved.
Because it was the 68,000 processor. It was way underpowered. It was not that great. Made by Sony. Jeff Carlson picked it though later, so you know it got in there too.
right there with the VIC-20.
So after we picked that, the Colossus computer got picked, and then Kit from Knight Rider, and then we were ruined.
Kit's not even a good computer.
No, that's what I said. I said he just complains about
an okay car, I guess, you know, and car, right? But he's not a good computer. Like he's not that smart. He's like Michael. Oh, that's all he does.
No, he complains. Oh, Michael, you shouldn't do that. That's why I said he shouldn't have picked him. I thought it was a bad pick because Kit is a. I wouldn't want to be around him. I think that's why we didn't pick Hal. Actually, is because he'll just kill you. And so, no, don't pick him.
Well, no, Hal has a mission. He has a purpose. He is dedicated
kill
to
all
it.
Humans.
He's very intelligent and smart and controls this complicated thing and is really going to make sure that the mission gets accomplished. And you know, but Kit is just nothing. He can't even like he's a car that drives himself, but he has a driver. It's insulting. It's like someone wheeling him around in a wheelchair constantly. Only the guy wheeling him is inside.
Yeah. That's weird. It's like the, yeah, inside out wheelchair kind of thing. That's very strange. The Ren's picks in that draft, by the way, were hilarious because they were all, her father was a hoarder of technology and he would roll technology down to his kids like 15 years too late. And so even though she's incredibly young, all of her technology picks were ridiculously old. So she picked like the PowerBook Duo and the Newton Message Pad. I mean, she was born in like the late 80s. She was born in 1989 and yet she picked the Message Pad and the PowerBook Duo because
now
her dad...
Now it's time for Erica to feel old. How does it feel?
Oh, believe me, I am so used to it by now.
Being indoctrinated into the incomparable with Serenity cult of all of us feeling like pathetic geezers.
Well, you see why we think she's a time traveler. Because there's no way that somebody her age should know that the PowerBook Duo and the Newton Message Pad exist. And then she picked the original iMac, which is also, you know, at least that sort of fits.
Right.
But that was crazy.
Right. She was 9 years old then, so, you know.
Oh, man. You're killing me. She was, yeah, she was nine years old then.
1998.
Yeah. See, I feel good. I've got a Newton sitting here. I've got a PowerBook 520C under my desk. Life is good.
Well, I have that Mac 512 sitting over here that delighted Andy so much in the War Games After Dark, but I'm not going to do that ever again because that was disturbing when they were so excited. They were a little too excited about the sound of a keyboard. It's just a keyboard, guys. Just a keyboard. Well, nobody else
what
is showing
was the fact
up
that they could recognize the keyboard.
All right, so I'm going to ask you guys. Would you be sad if we bailed on this and did it another time, or would you like
would
to power
not,
ahead?
I would go.
You go watch Game of Thrones, right?
Exactly.
Erica, is that okay with you? I hope you didn't rush home from the hockey game.
Yeah, honestly, for John's sake, I would be happy to postpone it.
Serenity has to be on this.
I feel like Serenity does need to be on
this.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I guess Morin, if we really need to.
Yeah, well, he is Firefly Morin, as we know.
That's right.
So this is like Waiting for Godot, actually, now. This is like our non-episode episode. It's very exciting, actually, in that context. Well, if nothing...
Well, just make a new feed for this. This is the times when we don't record episodes. That sounds like a new podcast. Make it so,
yeah,
Jason.
I'll just make another podcast. I think it falls as an After Dark / bonus track. I think that works. I think it fits.
Not playing ever.
In our...
uncast is what it is.
That's right. It's a not... It, other than that podcast that doesn't record and only posts the show notes, we're one level up from that. You think I'm joking,
we'll
not.
There,
no, I know you're not joking. And I
do you know about that podcast? I don't think
I
they do
well
it anymore.
Aware.
But who would know if they don't do it anymore? Because they didn't record it because it wasn't a podcast.
Yeah, that's just, don't get me started.
Yeah, performance art. But yeah, I think if nothing else, just being able to hear Erica's voice and be able to congratulate her. I'm very excited. Almost nothing I ever nominate for anything in the Hugos, because I have done it for the last 5 years, nothing ever gets nominated. I'm like the kiss of death. And so it was very sweet when some of your compatriots from Verity thanked me for my nomination vote, when in fact it was sort of like, thank you for not killing us by nominating us. Because that, I think I have the kiss of death. I think I have the negative vote that happens. But I was very happy. And that podcast, I think that podcast list is strong. I was thinking, yeah. I was debating whether I want to listen to representative episodes of all of the podcasts on that list and give an opinion about it, or whether I just want to let it lay there. But I recognized most of them, and I've heard... I think I recognize all of them, and I've heard most of them. So that's...
Well, most of them, I mean, all of the nominees from the previous 2 years, which were exactly the same,
Street
were nominated again this year, except for SF Squeakcast, who declined.
Right, who declined. SF Signal, were they nominated as a podcast last time, or just as a site?
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure.
I don't know about that.
I thought the podcast was, but maybe I could be wrong about that.
But it's cool. That's I liked that was such a strong category, and I'm also excited the Campbell nominees, the best new writers, are a great list, including Ramez Nam, who I know a little bit and is a really cool guy. So I'm happy about that. Let's just leave the horrible racist people aside for a moment and be happy about the people who are great. It's a fascinating time, actually. It's a fascinating list.
I love the fact that the fan writers are all people who have never won. So there's definitely going to be a new winner in that category.
That's great.
That's cool.
I a lot of times with these processes, what you get is the usual suspects get nominated because they get nominated every year. And I was actually really happy when Squeakcast said we're not going to go next year, because it just opens it up for somebody else to come in, and it makes things kind of new and exciting. Also, exactly. If Wheel of Time wins for best novel, I'm just going to cry. just because I have no opinion about those books. It's like a 12 novel or 13 novel series. It's only eligible 14. To be nominated because none of the books were recognized enough. I'm not going to say good. We're not recognized enough to ever be nominated, which would have taken it out of contention. It's kind of bizarre. But, you know, this is the year also where mobilizing fan campaigns succeeded for some stuff. And that's fine. It's a fan award. I mean, I processed this. I always viewed it as this incredibly sacred thing when I was like a teenager.
Same here.
And and you know what? It's a fan award. And that's why when Scott McNulty and I were both grappling with reading those Mira Grant books, which are really not very good, I had to realize she's got a following. They love her stuff and they are mobilized and they're going to nominate her and she's going to get nominated. And she got nominated. New trilogy. She's there again. So be it. And the racist guy, you know, they mobilized some people and they got nominated. Mm-hmm. You can't win with that strategy because it's much more constrained once you're dealing with a nominee.
You have to compete.
Yeah, but to get nominated, you need to. I mean, that's like old school politics. You got to shake some hands and kiss some babies and post some things on the internet, I guess. And you can and you can do it that way. And it's kind of crazy. But that's just how it is.
Yeah,
and
I did none of that. I kissed no babies.
You should have kissed some babies.
You actually smack some babies around, in fact. Yeah. Like, get away from me, baby.
Shake
some babies.
Yeah. It's great. I think it's so great that Verity got recognized. I think having a couple of people who are sort of recognized from the sci-fi community. Absolutely. In the podcast helps a lot because there's a visibility thing too. I mean, that's always the challenge with this stuff is you gotta be visible enough to be considered because, you know, I nominated and there's lots of stuff I just don't even know they exist. And you gotta have enough people who know that you exist to get a critical mass to then get in the top five. That's really hard. And you could be the greatest thing going and you know, you might have written the best short story of all time. And if nobody saw it, it doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's not like some of the juried kind of prizes for books and stuff where there are people who are reading books all the time in order to figure out what goes on that juried list. And then Hugo's isn't like that. And that's fine. It's fine. I've come to terms with it now. We are going to read all the – I think Scott and I made a blood pact to read the Nebula nominees this time. I think I'll read the Hugo nominees anyway because I'll get them because I'm a
including voter. All of the Wheel of Time.
So here's what I'm really wondering is for the packet, which is usually everything that's been nominated, will they just dump all 14 books of the Wheel of Time in there? And also, I love the guy on Twitter who told me when I commented on the Wheel of Time being nominated, said that is the best 14 book novel ever. Also the only, but it is the best. Yeah. So. I can't argue. I wish I had a 14 book series I could counter with, but no.
I don't think even Scott can finish that in a reasonable time. No, because those are big books. Those are not small books. That's 14 phone books. Basically.
No, but I would love it if they actually put them all in the packet, implying that voters should read all 14 books and then vote. Because which is what they should do. That would be hilarious. But I can't do that. But I did buy all the Nebula nominees the other day because. I wait because I'm going to get them for free if they're Hugo nominees, and none of them were,
well.
Except for Ancillary Justice. None of them were, but it's awesome. You know, now we have a Hugo nominee on our show for the first time, and it just sort of happened magically. It's beautiful.
Yeah, it really did seem like magic. I'm still kind of like in shock a little.
That's
bit.
Awesome,
but in happy shock.
Are any or most of you going to go to London for it?
Oh, I wish. Liz is going to be there because for her, it's not that far. She's planning on being there anyway. And Tansy is actually an elected board member something or other of CIFWA. She's the like overseas something something. So she's going to run the CIFWA room at the convention. So she will be there as well.
And she won she's a Hugo winner, folks. Winner.
Yes.
Winner.
Yep. Yeah, and I don't think any of the rest of us can afford it. I mean, I would love to go. I was talking to Deb about it the other day, and she was just like, yeah, kids going to college. That's probably not going to happen this year.
It's far, and from where you are, it's even further because it's more complicated about how you get there from someplace like Edmonton.
We have direct flights to London from Edmonton.
It's common.
Believe it or not.
Oh, the Queen. The Queen is behind this, isn't she?
Yep.
Yeah,
and actually, it's the same price as it would be for Deb to fly out of Philadelphia. We compared.
Well, then I take that back. It's just expensive to fly to London.
It's just Oh my god!
And stay in London. Yeah,
a ticket. So
I'm flying to London on Tuesday. By the way,
it's the worst month. August is the worst month to travel. It's
right.
The most expensive.
Right, right. Because the weather is not terrible then.
Yes. Oh
yeah,
well.
My wife might be going to spend a weekend in August just to see Martin Freeman and Richard III.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a good reason.
Hey, I'm not.
And I'm going to stay home.
Stay home with the kids. The Spokane, though, yeah. In 2015, the Worldcon,
yes.
In Spokane. I went to the one in Reno, and the one when Spokane promises to be, that's pretty easy to get to. I think I can get there on, like, Southwest Airlines. Glenn and Monty are
drive.
In Seattle. They can get over there. You can drive there, too. So that might be a, I'm targeting that one. I think I can go to that one pretty easily. So that's my plan now.
I might aim for that.
We drove to Reno. I mean, that was totally doable.
Yeah.
But Spokane is a little far for that, but. It's reachable. That is an obscure, talk about obscure place to hold a convention. From London,
yep.
To
yeah.
Spokane, Washington.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like the Olympic selection process is what I'm saying. It's very confusing and opaque, and I'm not quite sure. But Spokane, sure, why not?
Yeah, if I win the lottery between now and in August.
Is there a lottery in Canada?
Oh, yes. Yes,
oh, good.
Is. Yep. So
you should play
and,
that.
And I also just learned that sports betting is also legal. Like you go up to the little lottery kiosks and you can either buy a lottery mm-hmm. ticket or place a bet.
Well, that's there's your queen intervention again, too, because as we know, the Brits are completely obsessed with gambling.
They will bet on
anything. They're I actually, you know, find out what the odds are on Verity to win the Hugo, because I bet somebody
oh
has posted that.
Sure. I can't imagine they're that good.
I don't know. Okay. It's wide open.
Yeah, but we are the only one, I think, on there that's sort of single focus.
Right, right.
Everything
right.
else is general sci-fi yeah. fantasy, and we are Doctor Who, which of course Doctor Who is kind of the Hugo darling
right,
again
right.
this year. But still,
I was going to say, if you're going to have one focus, that's the one right now.
Yeah, yeah. It's always
true.
Been.
Although,
especially
the funny
this year.
Thing. Most of the Doctor Who news type outlets don't recognize that we are a Doctor Who podcast because our actual podcast name is just Verity. So we took off the Doctor Who, which we have on iTunes for searchability. We figured, well, we should just go with our regular name. And now nobody recognizes we're a Doctor Who podcast. So all the Doctor Who news stories say, oh, yes, these things were nominated and Queers Dig Time Lord is in best related work. No mention of Verity.
That's depressing.
Oops.
Fandom. It's complicated. Yep. It's a complicated thing. Well, nobody nominate any horrible racist people, okay? Let's make a pact. That part, let's make a pact about. But actually, I read a thing about how everybody was really sad. There weren't more British nominees than oftentimes. Like Neil Gaiman, I'm shocked. Neil Gaiman didn't get nominated for Ocean at the End of the Lane. That one blows me away. But
I
know.
Still haven't actually read it. But
it's good.
I was kind of hoping to get it in the Hugo bracket.
I know.
Damn it.
It's good.
Well, and he might have turned it down because he's good friends with Jonathan Ross. I mean,
right,
not
right.
just pals.
Well,
but,
he set that whole thing
friends.
Up. Yeah. Yeah. So. Well, yeah, I feel like Paul Cornell's tweet the night the nominations came out was good because he basically said, the poor Hugos. This is going to be a rough ride. It's going to be rough. It's yep. going to be rough. There's no doubt about it. It's going to be rough. But, you know, it doesn't matter. It's awesome. You are a Hugo-nominated podcast now. That is so great. I mean, that's what I always said about the Parsec Awards. It's like, you know what? We are an award-winning podcast forever. Forever! It only takes one. And then you just ride that one for as long,
right.
just until the ride ends. So Hugo-nominee is super awesome.
I will get my little spaceship pin regardless, and that is all I need.
Yeah, that's pretty great. All right, we're not going to do this then. Nobody else has showed up. I got to pack for my 2-week trip, and John's got to watch Game of Thrones. He may be watching it now, for all I know.
It's very quiet.
Not yet.
All right. Okay. Not yet. All right. I think if we split that computer game draft in two, I can go with even a week's buffer for my trip, my cousin's wedding, which I have to go to, which follows this ridiculous European trip that I'm making, which is why I freaked out about banking all these episodes so far in advance. And this one I was always like, Captain America, doing that actually made this one expendable, which was nice. And I was happy to do it, even though I haven't prepared as well if other people came. We could do it, but it's like, yeah, we have somebody named Serenity on the podcast. I'd really like to get her on. So
I think that's important.
I think it's a good thing. Okay, I'm giving you back your Sunday nights then. So what I say is winter is coming to John. Roll on you oil kings to Erica. And David, I don't know, Pawnee something.
Everyone's asleep. I'm free.
Oh.
This is wonderful.
Go, yeah, rewatch Cosmos or something. I don't know.
Yeah, the 9-year-old tonight is like, I want to watch it live, but it's a school night. You know, he's like, no, I want to watch it live. Spoilers.
They're big spoilers for Cosmos. It turns out that the smallest unit is not the atom. There are quarks and other subatomic particles. Spoilers for Cosmos. Shh. This is also the last night of spring break for us, too, so it's a very traumatic night.
Yeah, we did that a couple of weeks ago.
It's painful.
Yeah.
All right, I'm gonna turn off this thing, and I think I'm gonna post this as an After Dark because I think this was a great non-podcast podcast.
Yeah, well, it's a Hugo reaction celebration,
sort of. Yeah. Sure, sort of. And waiting for Dan and Serenity, who never came.
Waiting, there you go. Waiting for Serenity.
Waiting for Serenity. Yes. All right. So thanks everybody. Thanks chat room who listened to a thing that didn't happen that I never even pushed the notification on the 5x5. Thank you. This is not a podcast. You didn't hear anything. We were never here. Goodbye. 5x5.